From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. So are you a Mac or a PC person? Well, if you have an iPod, iPhone, iPad, or even an iMac, you might love it, or maybe you hate it, but you probably don't know much about the man who designed it. And we're not talking about Steve Jobs.
Behind the scenes, Jobs has a partner, and many people credit Jonathan Ive with changing the way people think about design. As part of our Creative Partnership series, NPR's Laura Seidel reports on the collaboration between Ive and Jobs.
At Apple, people often refer to the two men as Jives because they're so close. They often talk quietly over lunch in the company dining room or stroll around the grounds of the Cupertino headquarters. When Steve Jobs stood on stage in front of hundreds of people and announced the video phone feature on the iPhone 4, he made one call to
one of my best friends in the whole world, Johnny Ive, the head of our design team. Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Jonathan Ive and Steve Jobs have been inseparable since they met in the mid-1990s.
Steve's relationship with Johnny Ive is very symbiotic. Steve needs Johnny Ive, and Johnny Ive needs Steve.
Leander Caney is the author of Inside Steve's Brain. Ive came to Apple in 1992. At the time, Jobs was exiled from the company he founded. Apple had become bogged down with bureaucracy. Ive felt stifled.
He got buried in this big company. He was working on all sorts of very creative projects, very few of which saw the light of day.
In 1996, when Steve Jobs returned to save a company on the brink of bankruptcy, he began an evaluation of everyone.
He found Johnny Ive in a basement, surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of prototypes of all these prototype projects, and recognized immediately they had a talent there, you know, that should be put to work.
Jobs put him to work revamping the Mac computer. The two men seem to agree on a basic philosophy about design and products. Make the designs and the software simple and easy to use. Apple almost never lets media talk to anyone inside the company and would not agree to be part of this story. Ive gave a rare interview about his thinking behind the design for the first iMac to British television's Channel 4.
A lot of people at that point in time were nervous around computers, around technology. So a clear goal was, you know, how we could make the product accessible and not intimidating.
The result was the Fruity iMac. It was introduced to the world with a series of hip commercials that touted five bright color options.
She comes in colors everywhere. She combs her hair. She's like the rain.
The iMac reflected the Jobs Ive philosophy. Plug it in, and it works. No separate monitor, no rat's nest of power cords, no external hard drives. At the time, it was the best-selling computer model in history. Since then, Ive has led Apple's design team to create some of the most popular products of our time, the iPod, the iPhone, and now the iPad, all with the trademark minimalism. Ive says when he thinks about design, he thinks about details that matter to users.
As in the designer's taking care, the development team's taking care. No, I think we are surrounded by multiple products that really testify to companies who don't really care.
Ive was raised in a middle-class neighborhood in London and attended design school at Newcastle Polytechnic. While in school, his friends couldn't help but notice that his flat was filled from top to bottom with models for a project to help people communicate with children who had hearing problems. Each model was a little different because Ive kept redesigning it to get it right. Robert Brenner, who has since left Apple, hired Ive in 1992. He says Ive is relentless.
And you really have to be very relentless to get good stuff out in the market, and I think that is an attribute of Jonathan. He was very, very focused on getting it just right.
Jobs is equally obsessed with details, says author Leander Caney. The night before the iPod was introduced to the press, Jobs discovered that the headphone jack didn't make a click when you plugged in the headphones.
So he ordered the engineers to dismantle them all and put in headphone jacks that made a nice, satisfying click when you plug the headphone in. So these guys stayed up all night and then had to repackage the iPods in the morning to give to the journalists and the press. And it's kind of nutty. I mean, you know, who does that kind of thing? Who's going to notice?
Clearly, Steve Jobs noticed. He took execution of Johnny Ive's designs seriously. Keith Sawyer, a professor of education at Washington University who has studied creative collaborations, says Jobs and Ive together are responsible for what is now called design thinking.
Apple was at the forefront of this new movement, this idea that design is not something that you add in at the end when you're trying to pick a color scheme or how curvy the corners are going to be. Design is something that you have to build in from the beginning.
Here's Ive in a documentary about design called Objectified. He's talking about the iPhone and its big glass front.
Everything defers to the display. A lot of what we seem to be doing in a product like that is actually getting design out of the way. And I think when forms develop with that sort of reason, and they're not just arbitrary shapes, it feels almost undesigned.
Both Ive and Jobs believe that the hardware must work together seamlessly with the software. The iPhone and the iPod are part of a system, says Professor Sawyer, that includes a music store, a video store, and a bookstore.
It's not the way it was curved or where you put the buttons. It was thinking about the entire user experience of the iTunes store, of how you get the intellectual property rights with the record companies, right? So all of that together was what made the iPod successful.
To get it all right, author Leander Caney says it took both of them.
They're creative partners in the fullest sense. You know, it's not that Steve just sort of rejects stuff or accepts stuff. He gives very detailed feedback about the designs that Johnny creates. You know, they work together. It's a creative collaboration.
And it's hard not to notice that it's a collaboration that has resulted in products so successful that other companies, from Samsung to HTC, have tried to emulate them. But none creates the kind of excitement of a Jobs Ive design. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.
Up next in our series about creative partnerships, trapeze artists, a flyer and a catcher who trust each other with their lives.
My job is to save him all the time.
And just know he will catch me, that's it. This is for sure.
Cirque du Soleil's Andrei Chapin and Sergei Filipenko work together 40 feet above the audience, 8 shows a week. Their partnership is next in our series.
This is NPR News.